Chapter 15 and verses 1 down through verse number 11. The Bible says here, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. This was Jesus speaking. And it says, Jesus makes the statement, I am the true vine. My Father in heaven, of course, is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus says, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. What do you do if you have a fruit tree out in your backyard that's not bearing fruit anymore? It died. Well, you'd probably want to cut it down, right? Because it's not bearing fruit. It says in verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. God wants us to be fruit-bearing disciples. He wants us to bear fruit. And in this analogy that he gives, he is the vine. Okay, he's the vine. He's like the trunk of the tree, if you will. And we're the branches on the tree, right? And every branch that's abiding in him ought to be bearing fruit. We have that ability to bear fruit, and we ought to bear fruit. It says in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I'm glad that he comes to bring us joy. He comes to bring us a whole lot more than that. I mean, he brings us eternal life. He can bring us peace in our heart, peace with God. He can give us eternal life. He can change our life. But one of the blessings of knowing Christ in our life is that he's come to give us joy. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10 that the thief, you know, the destroyer, he comes. He doesn't come to give us life. He comes to steal, to rob. He comes to take it away. Satan, so many times, he offers us things that look good. But really, in the end, it just destroys our life. It ruins our life. He entices us with things that are not good, but Jesus Christ gives us life and he gives us joy. And I'm thankful for that. He can give us fullness of joy. Let's pray together. I want to talk to you for a few moments about this. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples about the importance of abiding in him, abiding in the vine. The importance of fruit bearing, the importance of having and experiencing joy in our lives. The importance of having our prayers answered. And Lord, help us today, teach us today the importance and the necessity of abiding in you. Abiding in Christ so that we can bear fruit in our lives. Help us today. Please, Spirit of God, help me and guide me in what I say and help each listener speak to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. One preacher said that abiding in Christ will produce three things. And we see these in this chapter. Verse number 7 said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. He said this, abiding in Christ will produce three things. Number one is effectual prayer. Effectual prayer. If we're abiding in Christ, then verse 7 would teach us we can get our prayers answered. We can pray and get our prayers answered if we're abiding in Christ. Secondly, we can have perpetual fruit. We can have, number one, effectual prayer. We can get our prayers answered. Effective prayer. Effectual prayer. Number two, perpetual fruit. Verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And the passage we read is clear. If we're abiding in Christ, if we're abiding in the vine, then we will bear fruit in our lives. And then the third thing, celestial joy. Effectual prayer, perpetual fruit, and celestial joy. Verse number 11, I mentioned that already. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Don't all those things sound good?
All those things ought to be things that we would desire if we're going to be a disciple of Christ. Well, I want joy. I want celestial joy. I want fullness of joy. I want abundant joy in my life. I'd like to bear fruit, you know, bear the fruit that a Christian ought to bear in his life. And I'd like to have effective prayer. I'd like to know that I can get my prayers answered. And how's it going to come? Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Let me give you a few statements this morning about how we can abide in Christ and how we can bear fruit. Number one this morning is this. To bear fruit, we must first be connected to the true vine. To bear fruit, we must first be connected to the true vine. Go back to verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. You know, we don't need to just be a part of some religion. We don't just need to be a part of something. We need to be a part of the true vine, a part of Jesus Christ. I am the true vine, he says, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We'll stop there. To bear fruit, we must be connected to the true vine. Jesus is the true vine, and the Bible is teaching us that we must be in Christ. Now, what does that mean? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ Jesus? We can talk sometimes about having Christ in you. But are you in Christ? Have you been saved? Have you been saved? Are you in Christ? You know, salvation doesn't come from some religion. It only comes from being in Christ. I tell people many times, you know, sometimes if we're trying to maybe meet people door to door and just meet new people in our community, sometimes people will say, well, I'm not religious. You know, I will have introduced myself. You know, I'm Pastor Brian Johnston from Gospel Light Baptist Church. We're just out trying to meet people. Da, 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 da. And they might say, well, I'm not religious. And I like to throw them off and say, well, I'm not religious either. And Jesus, he's not religious either. I'll say, you know, in fact, you know, Jesus, if you'll read the Bible, he condemned religion. He hated religion. He doesn't like all that stuff. He doesn't like vain religion and religious rituals and all that stuff, the traditions of men. He's not for that. He really isn't. So listen, it doesn't matter if we have religion. We can only bear fruit if we are in Christ. We can only have salvation if we are in Christ. It doesn't matter if we've had some religion. We need to be in Christ. Verse 2 said, every branch in me. Fruit bearing is going to start with being connected to the true vine. You can't have a branch disconnected or a branch that's just off on its own bearing fruit, right? A branch would have to be connected to the trunk of a tree or to the vine in order to bear fruit. It has to be able to get that sustenance and that nourishment out of the ground. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the one that is going to give us what we need. We certainly won't have salvation without being in Christ. Fruit bearing can only start with being connected to the true vine. No branch has life in it if it's cut off from the vine. Right? That's an obvious. You cut a branch off a tree, it's going to die. You just cut it off and just leave it there, it's going to die. We won't bear fruit if we're not in the vine. We won't have salvation, first off, if we're not in the vine. So number one, to bear fruit, we must be connected to the true vine. Number two, to bear fruit, we must abide in Christ. To bear fruit, we must abide in Christ. Look at verse 4. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. No more could ye bear spiritual fruit unless you're abiding in Christ. To bear fruit, we must abide in Christ. This involves constant communion with him all the time. This involves spending time with him every day. We ought to be honest with ourselves. Are we in close fellowship with him? Do we make sure that we're abiding in Christ? Are you getting the nourishment from him that you need? I mean, if you're going to be a fruit-bearing Christian, are you spending time with Christ? Are you abiding in Christ? I know you're at church today on a Sunday, and that's wonderful. That's awesome. But on Monday, on Tuesday, can you spend time abiding in Christ? Can you spend time in prayer talking to God? Can you spend time in the Word of God, a little bit of time in the Word of God, and letting God speak to you? This is how you get the sustenance that you need. This is how you get the nourishment that you need in order to bear fruit. If we're going to bear fruit, we must be abiding in Christ. Abiding is something. talking to Zacchaeus. I'm not sure if he used the word abide or not in the Bible story, but I'm coming to your house today. Those of you that know the story of Zacchaeus, remember he was this wee little man up in a tree. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, I'm coming to your house. I'm going to abide with you. I'm going to come in with you. Different times he did that. Listen, are you abiding with Christ? Is he abiding in you? Are you spending time with him? Is he invited in? Is he welcome? Are you praying? Are you spending time in his word? We are not really abiding in Christ if we don't have some communion with him and fellowship with him through prayer and through his word. So statement number two this morning is this: to bear fruit, we must abide in Christ. We must. Here's number three: to bear more fruit, we must experience purging and cleansing. Purging and cleansing. Look at verses 2 and 3. John chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The Bible calls the father the husbandman in verse 1. The husbandman was like a word for like the caretaker of an orchard, the caretaker of a vineyard. It's just another word that they used. You know what a person would do if they want to get effective fruit on their trees? Sometimes they've got to purge it, don't they? Sometimes they may do different things around vines and so on. Maybe dig up the earth around it to make sure it's good and free of weeds. Why? Because they want it to bear more fruit. They may take different times on a tree or on vines and go and purge or go and cut off certain branches. You know what? We have this tree in our backyard. It's not a fruit tree. It's just some white flower tree. I don't know what you call it. But it produces these nice big flowers and so on. We'd had, you know, some struggles with that tree because I have 7 children and some little children. And little children like to go out there at times of the year and, you know, swing bats around or swing a hockey stick or just do kid things. And so sometimes branches were getting whacked and broken off and this and that. And so near the end of the summer, I thought, this tree looks pathetic. And so probably sometime late summer, fall, whatever, I took and I just trimmed off pretty much all the branches of that tree and cut it down to where somebody would have looked at that and thought, man, that looks awful. But you know what? What has happened this year? All that purging that I did, that tree has just bloomed and blossomed and grown a whole bunch more. And there's all kinds of these nice flowers, and it actually looks pretty decent right now. There's not all these broken branches everywhere. No, it has grown, and it has bore fruit. It has flourished. You know, sometimes God does some things in our life where he purges us. He purges us. Sometimes there may be a trial that comes in our life. Sometimes there's a difficulty that comes in our life because he wants to help us learn a lesson, or he wants to help us bear fruit, or he wants to help us to realize, hey, you've not been abiding in me like you should. You need to get closer to me. You need to spend more time in the Word of God. You know, sometimes the things come. Sometimes there's even difficulties that come in our life, and God uses it as it is that thing that helps to bring you to God, helps to bring you to Jesus Christ. Listen, purging is not always a bad thing. If you think purging, that's painful. Now, I don't want something cut off, but listen, purging in the sense, in a spiritual sense, many times God will bring trials or difficulties that may hurt some. He may bring things in our life that are meant to try to teach us a lesson, to try to draw us closer to him, to help us to abide in him, to help us to do what? To bear more fruit. Because how do we glorify God? Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Sometimes we may experience purging so that we're made clean through the word. Notice again these verses, verse 2 and 3. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now are ye clean through the word. Now are ye clean through the word, which I have spoken unto you. What if sometimes God allows things to come in our life because he knows he needs to make us clean? He knows that we're not clean. He knows that maybe there's sin in our life that doesn't really fit there or belong there for a Christian. He knows that our life is maybe not going to glorify God like it should because there's something unclean in our life. And so purging may come. He wants for cleansing to come and us to be cleansed through his word. You know why God does that? It's only because he wants to make us more fruitful. It's only because God wants to make us more productive in our Christian lives. Notice something. We're going to come back to John 15 if in a few moments. But in Psalm chapter 119, you can look at it with me if you want. Or if you trust me, I'll just read it to you. Psalm chapter 119. Notice these verses, verse 67 and verse 71. Psalm chapter 119, verse 69. Verse 67. Psalm 119, verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." You hear the words of the psalmist? You know, before the affliction came, before the trial came, I was going astray from God. But God actually used that to bring me closer to Him, to draw me closer to Him, that now I'm keeping His word. Now I'm loving His word. Now I'm spending time in His word. And verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Again, sometimes the affliction, sometimes the trial, sometimes purging in our life, we may think, oh, that's not necessarily nice. It's painful. But what if that is what God is using to cleanse us? What if it's because God wants to use His word to cleanse our hearts? What if it's because God wants to use it to draw us closer to Him? To get us back to Him? To get us spending time in the Bible? To get us abiding in Christ like we need to? If God allows us to endure afflictions in our lives, realize that God wants to use it to purge our hearts of sins, to cleanse our hearts and minds, to cleanse our motives and desires. Purging is to make us more like Christ. Purging is intended to make us more fruitful, that the fruit of the Spirit would be produced in, effectively in our lives. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5 tells us what that fruit is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Boy, I'd like to bear that fruit in my life. That's the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, that He wants to be born out in the life of every believer. Sometimes purging may come so that we can bear that fruit effectively. We're not going to abide in Christ and bear fruit if we're not clean. We're not going to abide in Christ and bear fruit if we're not clean. I ask you this, do we confess our sins to the Lord? If we're not clean, how can we bear fruit? How can we bear fruit? Do we confess our sins to the Lord? Do we spend time in the Word of God so that our hearts and minds can be cleansed from the sin that can so easily creep into our lives down here on this earth? Psalm 119 and verse 9 says this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It says, "Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way?" Verse 11, I think. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How does cleansing come to a person's heart? The word of God. Verse 3 talked about being cleansed by the word. Listen, our hearts are only going to be cleansed by the word of God. And that's a reason why we need to get spending time in the word of God day after day after day. Because I want my heart to be kept clean. I need my heart to be kept right with God and in tune with God and in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. I don't want to be a Christian who's just, you know, living life in the flesh and not bearing fruit and so on. No. I want to be living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. If we're going to bear fruit, we've got to abide in Christ. If we're going to bear fruit, we need to understand that there may be some purging that comes. If we're going to bear fruit, we need to realize that God may try to get His word in us so that it can cleanse us and purify us so we can better bear fruit. So we can better bear fruit. I said statement number one this morning, to bear fruit, we must first be connected to the true vine. To bear fruit, we must abide in Christ. We've got to fellowship with Him. We've got to spend time with Him. We've got to spend time in His Word. And God will use His Word in our life powerfully. Number three, to bear more fruit, we must experience purging and cleansing. Number four this morning, to bear much fruit, God's word must abide in us. God's word must abide in us. We said before about abiding in Him, abiding in Christ. But the Bible also tells us here that God's word needs to abide in us. Look down at verse 5 to 8. John 15, verses 5 to 8. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered,
And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. It talks about fruit, then it talks about more fruit, purging, that ye may bring forth more fruit. Now it talks about much fruit, bearing much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. To bear much fruit, God's word needs to abide in us. God's word needs to abide in us. Now, what does that mean? Listen, because we have a free will, we can break fellowship with God by allowing sin into our lives. We can step out of the will of God. We can become worldly, if you will, or become dirtied by the sins of this world. But if we abide in Christ and He abides in us, if we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, then we will produce fruit in our lives. We can't produce spiritual fruit on our own. We can't. That's an impossibility. You know what my flesh is? My flesh is sinful. My flesh can't bear spiritual fruit. I can only bear spiritual fruit. I can only bear love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and so on if I'm abiding in Christ and letting His Word abide in me. We don't bear spiritual fruit on our own. Verse 5 said, without me, without Him, without Jesus, we can do nothing. We know that His Word is abiding in us, I believe, when we do these things or experience these things. I said, to bear much fruit, God's word must abide in us. Well, how are you going to know God's word is abiding in you? How are you going to know if God's word is abiding in you? I see a couple of things here in this passage of scripture that I think help us. How do you know if God's word is abiding in you? First off, if we keep His commandments. If we keep His commandments. Notice what it said, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And then down in verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You know, are you allowing God's word to abide in you? It's one thing to just sit in church for a little while and hear the word of God preached or taught, but are you allowing God's word to abide in you? When you hear it, is it remaining in you? Is it staying in you? Is it changing you? If you will read your Bible at home, is it abiding in you? Is it remaining in you? Is it changing you? Are you obeying it? Are you following it? We know that His word is abiding in us when we keep His commandments. When we keep His commandments. Here's a second thought about that. We know that His word is abiding in us when we love one another with the same kind of love that Christ loves us. I think a good sign, a good indicator, it's almost going to be Thanksgiving soon. Have any of you ever used one of those turkey thermometer button things that's supposed to poke out? Have you ever heard of those? Have you ever, Mrs. Abear, in the States probably, maybe you don't eat enough turkey in Canada for Thanksgiving, right? But in the States, and I know that my in-laws tried it one time, you can get these turkey button things that are supposed to kind of pop out when the turkey's ready, okay? You stick it in and it pops out when the turkey's ready. You want a little something to pop out, a little indicator, something that's going to show you, hey, you're letting God's word abide in you. Here's what it's going to be. Are you getting along with other people? Are you learning to love other people with the same kind of love that Christ loved us? Are you having a lot of difficulty just getting along with everybody? And you're finding it hard to love? It's a good sign that we're not abiding in Christ like we should. And we're not letting God's word abide in us. Notice what these verses say. John 15, 7 to 9. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. The Father loves the Son of God, Christ, showed His love to us. And then He says this, continue ye in my love. What does that mean? That means with the love that I've loved you, you need to love others like that. And then go down to verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Boy, that's an example of love, isn't it?
Who's our example in that? That's Jesus. No greater love than Jesus, who literally laid down his life on the cross for us. Are we willing to love people with that same kind of love, to lay down our life for others, to put others before ourselves, to put the need of others before ourselves? Are we willing to be inconvenienced because we love somebody? And then down in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. That you love one another. How do we know that if God's word is abiding in us? Well, we'll start keeping his commandments. And number two, we'll love one another with the same kind of love that Christ loved us. You remember the fruit of the Spirit? I said it in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. It's love. It starts with love. Do we treat others with love? The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering. That means you're willing to suffer a long time sometimes for the sake of another. Gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. Are we willing to show that kind of love? Do we treat others with love? Do we treat others with patience or impatience? Do we treat others with long-suffering and gentleness? Do we seek peace and forgiveness? Do we love and forgive others like Christ loves and forgives us? Or do we give of ourselves? Do we sacrifice for others? Listen, if you want a good indicator of, am I abiding in Christ or not? Is God's word abiding in me or not? How about, are you having difficulty loving others? Are you having difficulty showing patience to others? If not, it's a good sign that you've not been abiding in Christ or letting God's word abide in you like you need to. You need to ask God to help make things right in your life. You need to let God's word cleanse his heart. You need to make sure you're spending much more time in this book, spending much more time with Christ, spending much more time abiding in him and letting his word abide in you. To bear much fruit, God's word must abide in us. Going back to what I said this morning in the very beginning, I said a preacher told us that abiding in Christ will produce effectual prayer. It will produce perpetual fruit, and it will produce celestial joy. If we're abiding in Christ, it will produce effective prayers, perpetual fruit, and it'll produce joy in our lives. If we're not praying and having prayers answered, if we're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, if we're not experiencing joy in our lives, then somewhere there's a failure. There's a failure. And it's not a failure on God's part. Never is. If you are not experiencing joy in your Christian life, if you think, man, the Christian life is the most miserable thing in the world. I don't even know why I'm here today. I don't even know if I like being a Christian. And you've got no joy whatsoever. Boy, there's something missing. It's not on God's part. Listen, his word is tried and true. It's proven. It's effective. In the lives who will believe it and love Christ and follow it, he will give you joy. And if you don't have joy, then somewhere there's a failure on your part. Are you connected to the vine? Are you in Christ? Are you saved? First off, that needs to be checked. And if you are in Christ, are you abiding in Christ? Are you fellowshipping with him? Are you spending time with him? Do you ever pray? Do you ever spend time in God's word? Because if we're lacking joy, there's a failure on our part. If we're not bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, then there's a failure, because we can bear fruit. This passage promises that. We can bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit if we abide in Christ and let his word abide in us. If we're not praying and having our prayers answered, then again, there's a failure here. There's something wrong here. If we're not praying and having prayers answered, if we're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, if we're not experiencing joy, we are either not in the vine, meaning we're not saved, or maybe we're not abiding in Christ. Maybe we're not enjoying close communion and fellowship with him daily like he wants us to. Listen, the Christian life is not just, well, I come to church on Sunday, I become a Christian for a couple hours, and then I go live my life. No, to have fruit, to have joy, to have your prayers answered. Listen, abiding in Christ and letting God's word abide in you needs to be something you do every day. Are we allowing Christ and his word to purge our lives, to cleanse us from sin? Maybe we're not allowing God's word to abide in us, to remain in us. Maybe we're out of fellowship with Christ because we're not keeping or not obeying His commands. Maybe we just don't want to obey His command to love others the way that Christ loved us. You know, we're told, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, but I can't love them. I can't love them. Do you know how they mistreat me? Do you know what they did to me? Okay, you're just telling us, you're just telling God that you don't want to abide in Him and let His word abide in you. You don't want to keep His commandments. His commandment is that we love one another the way that He loves us. You know how Christ loves me? He loves me even though I'm a stinking, dirty, rotten sinner. He loves you even though you're a wonderful sinner. He loves us. He loves us. And yet we say, well, I can't love them. I can't love my husband. I can't love my wife. I can't love my friend. I can't love my parents. I can't love that stinking kid. I can't love that other person. I can't love my boss. I can't love. Oh, you can't. So you're saying that you don't want to abide in Christ and you don't want to let God's word abide in you. Listen, if we're going to bear fruit, if we're going to be able to know that we can pray and have our prayers answered, if we're going to be able to have that celestial joy and experience abundant joy and fullness of joy in our lives, then we've got to abide in Christ and let God's word abide in us. Abide in us. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you would use it in a powerful way to convict us and challenge us. Lord, it may be that we're here this morning and we're not even connected to the vine. We're not in Christ. If we would think about our life, we'd say, you know, I don't know that I'm in Christ. I don't know that I have salvation. If I was to ask you this morning, do you know 100% for sure, without any doubts, that you're going to go to heaven, that you have eternal life? How would you answer that? Would you say, I'm not sure? I really don't know. If you don't know, I would sure love to take the Bible and show you how. How you can know for sure that you have eternal life. That Jesus Christ is your Savior. That your sins are forgiven. He wants you to know that. You've got to first be connected to the vine. You've got to be in Christ. There's no salvation from religion. Religion does nothing. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven can only come through putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You need to be in Christ. If you want to have your prayers answered, if you want to have fullness of joy, if you want to bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you've got to be willing to abide in Christ. You may have to go through some purging or cleansing because God needs to purify some things in your life and in your heart. You're going to have to be willing to let God's word abide in you, to remain in you. Choosing to obey Him, obey His word. We need to fellowship with Christ, abide in Christ. Learn to spend some time in prayer. Learn to spend some time in God's word. Before you read it, ask God to speak to you. Ask God to show you something. Ask God to help you from it. You don't know where to read or what to read. Talk to me. Talk to my wife. Let us share with you a good place to start. But listen, we need to get in the Bible. Get in the word of God. Abide in Christ and let His word abide in us. If you want the fruit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that a Christian can bear, the fullness of joy, the effective prayer life, you've got to abide in Christ and let His word abide in you. If you would say, I know in my life I'm needy. I would know my relationship with Christ is not as good as it ought to be or should be or could be. I'm not sure if I'm always letting God's word abide in me or remain in me like I need to. Maybe there's something you need to talk to God about. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed as the pianist plays.
And I encourage you to spend some time in prayer to God even now. Don't just hear a message. Don't just hear the word of God and really do nothing about it.